So, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Again, Seth Hubbles will be speaking to us. His title is Why We Serve God.
Good evening. How are you all doing?
Great.
It's really good to be here. I'm really excited to see all of you. It's been a few years since I've been at Great Lakes Bible School, and I really am excited, genuinely, from my heart to be back and to see all my friends, to see my family, to see so many people that have influenced me in my own spiritual walk over the years. It's important to come back to Bible school, to places like this, to be with one another because we encourage each other. And it's a time and a place where we reconnect with each other and we reconnect with God. And it's important to have these times in our lives where we take time aside to reconnect, to refocus ourselves so that we know that we're staying on the right path and that we're heading in the right direction. And so as we're here, it's important for us to evaluate ourselves, to evaluate our relationship with God. And I think that part of doing that is asking ourselves questions, asking questions of ourselves, where we're at spiritually. And the question that I want to look at tonight in that spirit is the question of why we serve God. More personally, why do I serve God for ourselves? This is a question that can be very personal. And it's one that, as a believer, I think we need to ask ourselves. It's something that I've certainly considered for myself over the years. What is my motivation to live my life in the way that God wants me to? To pattern my decisions and day-to-day actions after what I read in His Word? I don't mean this as a question or debate about whether I really want to serve God or not, because I know that I do want to serve God, absolutely. The question is where that desire comes from, where God wants it to come from, and where that desire is going in us. I think that the source of our desire to serve God changes over time. The strength of our passion to follow God's will goes through peaks and valleys, and as we navigate through a spiritual walk, we have times where we are full of zeal and energized to pursue God. Other times, for many reasons, we have hardships, we have periods of doubt, and those things can make us feel farther from God. And it can be harder to get that same energy to do the things that we know are right and that we know we want to do. Looking at my own spiritual journey, as it were, I can identify moments in my life where I felt compelled to live like Christ and to seek out God. And other times, I felt more obligated rather than compelled to serve God. Partly these changes are due to my circumstance in life. However, I think that these changes are also largely due to how I viewed God. What I thought His purpose for my life was, where I felt He was taking me. Being aware of these perspectives and how they affect my zeal to live my life the way God would have me live it, I've realized is vital to maintaining my faith and my daily walk. To keep our faith strong, it's key for us to know where our motivation comes from, to live the way that God wants us to. What is our goal? Why do we choose to live the way that we do? What gets us energized to serve God? Where should the source of that energy be? Reflecting on ourselves and knowing what truly motivates our walk is important to keep us going in a good direction. The sort of reflection can be personal and sometimes complex. Looking into God's Word is important for identifying the reasons we choose to serve God and the reasons God wants us to serve Him. I think that there are two sources of motivation that come most naturally to us. There are two places where the desire to serve initially comes from: hope and fear. For myself, especially in years where I was particularly young in my faith, hope and fear were two of the most prominent sources of energy that drove me to try and follow God's will. Hope is motivation to serve because of the reward that we look for from God, and as a result of our godly walk. God has promised us a reward for our genuine faith and resulting obedience, eternal life, and a place in his kingdom. Our desire to obtain our hoped-for reward can spur us to obey and serve God. There are two passages that come to mind regarding the reward we hope for. First is Luke 18, verses 29 to 30. He said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come." And along with that, of course, Revelation 21, 3 to 4 is very familiar to us, and with good reason. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" Of course, these passages are very familiar to us. And they're familiar to us because they tell us about the reward that we hope for. They remind us of what we work towards. And we know that aligning ourselves with God's will leads us to our reward of eternal life and a place in his kingdom. This becomes a source of motivation for us to serve God. Because we want this reward, we want to hold on to that hope right now. And we know that serving God is necessary to keep that hope alive. And the flip side of hope is fear. Fear of losing that reward. Fear of the nothingness that there is to replace it if we don't have the reward that we work for. We know that a failure to serve God can lead only to death. A classic example, again, that we know well, so we know these passages by heart. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." Sin is a lack of obedience to God, and the opposite of serving his will. Sin leads to death, and we fear death. And of course we do. We don't understand it. There's nothing left for us after that. We don't want to die. So serving God is our only way to escape that fear. In this way, the feeling of fear can actually motivate us to serve God, simply because we're afraid of the alternative. We serve because we don't want to know what happens if we don't serve. Well, we know what happens if we don't serve. We don't want that to happen to us. One more familiar passage that can paint this picture for us and that can lead us into that mentality of service to God for the sake of hope, for the sake of fear, is again another familiar passage, one that sticks in our mind and in our hearts. Matthew 25, 31 to 46 paints this picture. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did you see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The image of the judgment is a classic example of hope versus fear. If we are righteous, it says, we live our lives serving God, then we will be granted eternal life after the judgment. And if we fail to serve God, well, then, as it says in the end of Matthew 25, we are sent to eternal punishment, or sent to our death. Now, when I was younger in my faith, these seemed like the only two options in front of me. I wanted to be one of the righteous, wanted to do right by God so that I could be in his kingdom, so I could have eternal life. I was afraid that if my faith and my service wasn't quite right, wasn't genuine enough, I might not pass the test of judgment. And so my motivation to serve God was because I wanted his reward, and I was afraid of the alternative. However, I think a faith focused around this kind of fear of judgment and hope for reward is not a full or complete faith. I think that God has in mind something much better for us than serving him because of fear or just because of hope. Now, I want to be clear that we do have an amazing hope in God, an amazing hope that he has given to us, that we should hope for eternal life. And that hope is something that can positively motivate our zeal to serve. However, there is more behind our walk in God. There's more pushing us to serve than just hope for the kingdom. If our motivation came only from hope for our reward, our service to God would be out of obligation. But God wants more of us. I think that as we grow in our faith, the reasons we serve God naturally change. Our focus and energy comes from a different place as our understanding of God develops. This has certainly been true in my personal experience. The more I get to know God, I find the reasons that I serve him have changed. And that change has been good. It's important for us to identify this kind of change, to identify what exactly it is that energizes us to serve. As we grow in our walk, knowing helps us to nurture our faith and keep ourselves moving in a positive direction and to keep our zeal for God alive. For me, this change in the source of my desire to serve came directly as a result of coming to a new understanding and appreciation of grace. Feeling the reality of God's love, understanding God's mercy and forgiveness forces the nature of our walk to change in a way that we can't see until we understand it. Understanding God's mercy and forgiveness forces the nature of our walk to change, partly. This is because God's love for us and resulting gift of grace gets rid of fear. And this is expressed beautifully in 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. God's perfect love casts out the fear of judgment. As we grow, as we get to know God, we see him work in the lives of people we know. We see his plan at work in the world around us. We learn to better understand him as we read his word and take to heart the message he has for us. The more we learn about God, the more we feel his perfect love for us. When we feel that love and believe in it, we have no room to fear. We know that God has no desire to punish us or for us to see death. Very much the opposite. God works for us and with us so that we will escape death and share in hope. As we really get to know God, his perfect love erases all of our fear. Along with erasing our fear, God's love also changes how hope works in us. What we do does not necessarily affect our hope, once we understand that the hope we have is a gift from God, not something we earn. Another familiar passage, Romans 6:22 and 23. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is a free gift that God gives to us, and He has set us free from sin. God's love is truly amazing, and something we do not and cannot deserve. And even so, He loves us perfectly, and we benefit in every way from that love, in that He freely gives us hope and casts out our fear. The effect of knowing this, however, can change our reasons and source of motivation for serving God. We have been given the free gift of eternal life, so in a way, we don't need to serve God to have hope. And likewise, His perfect love casts out fear, so we don't need to do God's will to escape fear. At first for me, realizing the effect of God's love sort of pulled the rug out from underneath me, as it were. In the earlier years of my faith, I realized that I really only served God out of a sense of obligation. I served so that I could earn my eternal life. However, once I really understood that God wanted to give it to me, I no longer had the same source for my drive to do what God wanted me to do. And though not exactly true, the seemingly logical conclusion that an understanding of grace can bring us to is that whether we serve God or continue in sin, we are still saved by His love. However, we know this can't really be true. This can't really be how grace works. Why would God free us from the penalty of sin just to open up the possibility for us to choose to live our lives in a way that is not serving Him, that's not trying to learn His ways? This is touched on again in Romans chapter 6, the beginning, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can he who has died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The reaction to grace cannot be a life of sin. In fact, understanding God's grace and being baptized into Christ makes this impossible, because it opens up something new in us. Grace inspires in us a new reason to serve God. Just as Christ literally died to sin and was raised in perfection, when we are brought to baptism by our understanding of God's love and grace, we die to our life of sin and begin our walk in newness of life. Under God's grace, we are compelled to walk in a way to serve God, not out of obligation, but because we want to. We are motivated by the love that He shows us, and we should want to pattern ourselves after that same love. We see this further reiterated in Romans chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. Serving God purely, out of a place of hope and fear, coincides with being captive to sin under the law. This is serving God in the old way of the written code, trying to adhere to the law and earn salvation, very much like the Pharisees, a group who we know missed the target in really understanding God and what God wants for us. However, God has released us from the law, from our captivity to sin, so that we are free to serve in a new way, in the way of the Spirit. God's love and grace compels us to serve. He has shown us love, and once we experience that, we will want to live a life patterned after that love. God has gone to a lot of effort on our behalf, and granted, He is all-powerful, and so using the word effort might not be exactly accurate, However, from our human perspective, God has done a lot of work that we benefit from. We owe to him our creation and existence. He's provided the Bible as a tool for us to learn and to grow. He listens to us, and we pray to him, and he is involved in our lives in very powerful ways. He has set up a plan to give us eternal life, even at the expense of his own son. Everything we have, we owe to God. However, we are sinful. We habitually and consistently do things that God doesn't like. Yet he continues to support us, to reach out to us. On the surface, this makes no logical sense. God must have a reason for putting up with our disobedience and continuing to be so good to us. For me, this leads to the question, what does God want from us? What is it that God is looking from me? I think that we find the answer in the passage that we read at the beginning. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God wants us to know him. Everything that he does for us is him reaching out to show us his ways, to help us to understand him. He has given us his word so that we can know his ways. He works in our lives so that we can feel his presence. He showed us a perfect life in his Son so that we can see what it is to be godly. He gave up the life of his Son for us so that we would understand and feel love. When we know love, we can begin to understand God. When we learn how to love, we begin to know God. And so now, when I ask myself why I want to serve God, the answer is different than it used to be. I want to serve God because I want to know him. He has shown me so much love. I want to know him better so that I can better understand that love. To know God, I have to learn how to show the love that he has shown to me. This drives me to serve God and drives me in new ways according to the Spirit, according to the newness of life that is in Christ. Each of us has our own walk. We each have our own reasons to serve God and find our drive in different places. Sometimes in life it comes easier and we are driven by love, but other times we may struggle to find the energy and the focus that compels us towards God. But this is why it's important to ask ourselves the question, why do I serve God? We need to keep that focus, to stay driven, and to stay on track. Our reasons are often personal, they're often changing. However, one thing stays the same. God will continue to love us and continue to reach out to us. He knows us completely, both the good and the bad, and yet he holds back nothing from us. God completely loves us. Let us keep looking to know God and understand him by living our life according to the same love that he has shown us. Thank you.